mother was in the sanitarium, tuberculosis sanitarium in eastern Oklahoma at Tallahassee. And he had a trombone, I had a Gibson guitar and an amplifier, and we would get out to school about noon on Friday, and we would hitchhike up to McAllister, Oklahoma. And Brother Allen would meet us there. And we would go on down into the eastern Oklahoma hills to Tallahassee, South Texas. And we had services down there. We have a service for the men, one for the women. They were very careful about keeping them segregated. And Saturday afternoon, we were getting ready to leave, go back to school. And the women said, "Why don't you sing one more song before you go?" And I set my amplifier down and got my guitar out. Didn't even hook my amplifier up, just for the guitar. Otho and I began to sing, "Got a Mansion Over the Hill." And the Holy Ghost began to just sweep through that women's dormitory and that sanitarium. Amen. I mean, there was not one dry eye in that place. They said, "We want to give you boys an offering." So they went back to the little change purses, back to the pocketbooks. Amen. I think there was a $5 bill in it. Well, boy, it was a big money. Amen. Hallelujah. But isn't it strange how that I've never sung "Mansion Over the Hilltop" from that day to this, and I don't think about that anointing God put on it down there in that sanitarium. Hallelujah. God does something in the spirit for you. I'm telling you, it'll stay with you for a while. Amen. You can go a while in the strength of that meat. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, I really don't know what to do, but I'm afraid to say if you do, get up and do it, because old Larry's got so much victory. He'll probably get up and start preaching. Amen. Do you have a message, Larry? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Clendon say one time he'd be called an all-night prayer meeting in a church running about 500 or 600, and he had got less than 50 to the all-night prayer meeting. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're looking at the rapture." Oh, Lord. He didn't want to believe it. "You mean this is all that's going?" God said, "If I couldn't call them to an all-night prayer meeting, how could I call them to that meeting in the air?" Amen. So the pastor said, "Well, it's just 30 here, but it's grew a little bit since you said it was 30. Amen. And when we have 135 for morning worship, 100 something. Amen. Amen. We might be looking at the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go, don't you? Hallelujah. They don't preach much about the rapture anymore. Some folks tell you they're not going to be a rapture. They say that to preach the rapture is escapism. I said, that's exactly what it is. Don't make fun of that. Amen. Now, Jesus said, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the world and stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all praying for me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Jesus, please help me. Please help me tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Are you sure you all are praying for me? Okay. If y'all are sure, we'll start. Let's go to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, and then we will go back to the 46th Psalm. Amen. See, it's not chapters in Psalms. Psalms is a songbook. So you wouldn't say, turn to Psalm chapter, you wouldn't say chapter 46 in your songbook, would you? You'd say number 46. Amen. So you hear somebody say, turn to the 46th chapter of Psalms, you know they never been to Southwestern Bible School. Because they learned me that in Bible school. Amen. While it was down there. Amen. Cost me money to learn that, and y'all just get it whatever you want to put in. Right? Amen. Let's start with the third verse of the 47th chapter. Glad to see the presbyter here. Brother Moseman, who's this other brother? Brother Fisher. Fickner. Excuse me. My hearing is not 20/20. Glad to have you, Brother Fickner. It's a pretty woman you got with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3. When the man that had the line in his hand went eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters were to the ankles. He measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters were to the knees. He measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters were to the loins. And afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and called me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, go down into the desert and go into the sea. Being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall... look, it started out one river, now it's plural. Did you notice that? That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Down there on earth, you know, it takes four rivers to make one river. Amen. Here this river gets so full it splits. Woo! And becomes two rivers. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. That's pretty good, isn't it? That good? Okay. I didn't notice y'all wasn't getting a big kick out of it as I was, so I didn't know. The rivers, plural, shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 47. God is our refuge and strength, is a very present help in trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea. He said, we're not going to be afraid if we see the mountain go by heading toward the middle of the sea. Amen. You know, it's, ever been the Rocky Mountains? See, it's 1,500 miles from the Rocky Mountains to either Pacific or Atlantic. Amen. But he said, I don't care if the mountains move 1,500 miles. Amen. Cast in the middle of the sea, they ain't going to disturb us. He said, you see that go by? What was that? Amen. Well, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, there'll be a lot of things you won't see. Did I get the wrong building? I said, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, a lot of things you won't see. Amen. And so the mountains could go past, and it wouldn't worry you. Woo! Hallelujah. Be like Jerry Lee saying, whole lot of shaking going on. Ain't going to worry you. Amen. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, present tense, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Oh, was it? Okay. That's good. Can everybody hear? Can you hear me? God will help her, and that right early. I want to talk just a little bit tonight. I hope I don't get too long-winded. Amen. About the river of God. God has always had a river. Amen. It's always been full, Jeff. It's always been free. It's always been flowing. There's your nice little outline. If you can't preach an hour on that, you need to turn your papers in. Amen. I heard my pastor preach 30, 40 years ago on this streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. He named the streams in this river. He named one stream the born again experience. Talking about the streams that make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The streams whereof, he said, shall make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. Then he went to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's another stream that'll make glad the city of God. Amen. He preached on the stream of divine healing. Amen. Making glad the city of God. He preached on the rapture of the church, making glad the city of God. He preached on complete obedience, hallelujah, making glad the city of God. Amen. There you go again. Amen. We were talking about obedience the other day. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll guarantee you there's nothing in this world that'll make you happy like obeying God. Woo! And you have obeyed him and you've done something that pleased him, let me tell you, mister, that's about as good as it's going to get. Amen. About as bad as it's going to get is when they tell you to do something and you don't do it. Then you are in trouble. Amen, for sure. Amen. I went up down to Tulsa to hold a meeting, and there's no more working in there as a carpenter. He didn't have any money, but the Lord spoke to him first night, Monday night, said, give $100 in this offering. Oh, no, he just couldn't get $100 in that offering. So all week long, he and the Lord fussed, you know, about that $100 offering. Well, finally, Friday night, he put that $100 in that offering. That was taking the offering. And when he put that thing in the pan, he began to shout. I didn't know what was wrong with him. I wasn't feeling all that good. Amen. But he somehow went up one aisle and down the other. When he finally obeyed God, amen. He told me later, he said, "You almost ruined this meeting for me." I didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. You wouldn't obey God. Hallelujah. No wonder you never did get happy. Hallelujah. But I tell you, obeying God will make you happy. Well, amen. That's not what I want to preach on. That's just a little warm up. You know, God's always had a river. He had one in the book of Genesis. You know, the river of God always heads up one big river, and then it took four rivers to carry it out of the Garden of Eden. That's the truth. Amen. See, and they got one over in the book of Revelation. John said, "He showed me a river of water of life, clear as a crystal." Getting pretty at it. Amen. Clear as a crystal. Flowing out of the throne of God, hallelujah, down through the midst of the streets of the city, and on either side of the street was the tree of life, hallelujah, bearing 12 manner of fruit, glory to God. God has always had a river, amen. It's always been full. It's always been moving. The river of God moves. The river of God will flow. This river's going to flow. I don't care if we try to dam it up and won't let it flow through us, it'll flow through somebody. I had a buddy stood on that Hoover Dam out on the Colorado River in California, I believe it is out there. Amen. Oh, big, massive piece of concrete there. And he told the old guy, he said, "Boy," he said, "I bet this dam would stop anything, wouldn't it?" He said, "No." He said, "You see that little stream of water we're letting out underneath it down there?" Said, "That's a Colorado River." Hallelujah. And if he was to completely shut that off, said that river would build up and come over this dam, first thing you know, it would wash this dam out. He said, "Mister, that river is going to flow." Hallelujah. Amen. And the river of God's going to flow. Hallelujah. Amen. Then all you got to make up your mind whether you're going to get in it or not. Amen. There's a bunch of them going around now going to heal the body of Christ. Amen. You hear that everywhere. Oh, we got to heal the body of Christ. Well, I got news for you. There's nothing wrong with the body of Christ on this earth. It is alive and well, and all you got to do is make up your mind whether you're going to be part of it or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Right. I'm telling you, you get in a lot of trouble. That's a wrong premise to think that the church of God is sick. Amen. She is not sick. Amen. Hallelujah. Might not be very many of them. Hallelujah. But them that's there, they're alive and well. Glory to God. And got the victory. Living for God. Ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, then, that river that John saw in the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, that is in eternity. Amen. This river that Ezekiel saw will be flowing during millennial reign. See, and that's what I love about the Lord so much. Ezekiel, all his prophesying, he did down there in captivity. He never did see Jerusalem. When he prophesied against Jerusalem, he had to build a little sand pile there, a little city there in the sand, and prophesy against it. Yeah, right there in the sand, yeah. And down there in the bend of the river Chebar were the captives, amen. Never knew what it was to be free. And yet, boy, he had visions of God. Hallelujah. God would visit him in the most remote, out of the way place. Has God ever found him? I'll never know. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But then again, to give him the dimensions of the city, you know, and told him about this river. He saw this river of God, amen, down there in captivity, a slave. Amen. Hallelujah. But the visions of God kept him going. Hallelujah. Keep you going too. Keep me going. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so this river is going to flow out of the temple at Jerusalem during the millennial reign. Amen. Now you have to go, well, I used to say this, that you had to go to the book of Zechariah to find that this river split, and part of it went to the Hindu Sea, and part of it went to the Great Sea. Amen. Part of it goes to the Dead Sea. But here, right here, see, if you notice real quick, you know that it changed from river to plural rivers. Amen. After it gets out, it splits, you know. Amen. Now, Zechariah tells you plain that part of it will go into the Dead Sea, part of it into the Mediterranean Sea. Amen. And the waters in the Dead Sea are going to be healed. And there'll be going to be fish in the Dead Sea during the millennial reign. Amen. Then when they get over there, the water's rolling down into the Mediterranean Sea, I imagine that the waters in the Mediterranean Sea will be healed too. Might be that all the waters in the oceans will be healed during the millennial reign. Might be. Amen. I don't know. Then we'd have plenty of water to irrigate with. But you won't need irrigation. Because two things you're going to have to do during the millennial reign, you're going to have to go to church and you're going to have to pay your tithe. Amen. If you don't go up to Jerusalem and take the heave off and leave, then the next year you don't get no rain. Amen. Smarten you up pretty quick. Amen. If you want some rain, you go to church and you pay your tithes. Amen. If you don't, next year you don't get. So it might not need the fresh water. But I wouldn't doubt the water would all be healed. Amen. Because this river will heal anything. Amen. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. God, we're going to go up to Jerusalem, amen. I don't know if we'll still have the internal combustion engine or not, amen. Or the automobile, amen. And just, Bible does say you're going to have horses' bridles, amen. And I know we're still going to have bumper stickers. There's going to be bumper stickers on the bells of the horses, and a bumper sticker going to say, "Holiness to the Lord." Hey, I saw this bumper sticker the other day. It said, "Do a stamp out bumper stickers." Stamp out bumper stickers. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot of things. I don't have a particular outline except just some things about this river. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, one of the first things I noticed about it that surprised me, that this was a man that helped Ezekiel get into the river. You always thought it was an angel. He's having visions of God, and I thought it was an angel that helped him get into the river of God. But it wasn't. It plainly says the man that had the line in his hand. Call him a man. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is what the scriptures teach. Amen. That if you're in the river of God tonight, it'll not be because an angel led you in there. It'll be because some man thought enough of you to stop you and turn you around and tell you about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has ordained that men would tell other men about this. Hallelujah. Angels have desired to look in it. God said, "No, I've ordained that men would tell other men." Amen. Now, I know he's thinking behind it, you know. I know he's thinking, boy, if one broke down sinful man, amen, had just been overwhelmed, you know, and just been defeated and gone from one defeat to another and health was wrecked, amen, and no peace and no joy, and all at once gets saved, God thinks, man, he won't let his shirt tail hit his back till he will tell everybody he sees, amen, about this river he found, amen, and God has ordained that men would tell other men, amen. Well, I bet we disappoint him sometimes, don't you? But he thought, really, he thought we wouldn't let anybody go by that didn't hear about this, but it happened to us. Amen? Hallelujah. And another thing I noticed about this, I thought he was going across the river. He wasn't. He was going down the river. How many thought he was going across the river? Oh, Brother Adam wanted to raise his hand, but his wife put it down. Put your hand down, baby. Amen. You'll have to give $100. Thank you for that $100, Brother Adam. Amen. Hallelujah. But I thought he was going across the river. The man had the line and waded out there. But the Bible said he was going eastward, and the river was running eastward. Hallelujah. And so they weren't going across the river. They was going down the river. Amen. And that way God will lead you. Always he will lead you toward the east. Amen. God wants you to get eastbound and down. Hallelujah. Right? He wants you to get toward the sun rising. Amen. God's clock always runs toward the sun rising. Amen. See, the first chapter of the book, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, that's backwards. If I'd have been right, I'd have said the morning and the evening were the first day. Amen. Wouldn't you? Sure. Well, you didn't write it. I didn't write it. The Holy Ghost wrote it. And he said the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. He knows how God's clock runs. Doesn't run from morning to evening. God's clock runs from evening to morning. But there's always going to be a morning in it if you let God set your clock for you. Hallelujah. You're not going to die after some midnight trial somewhere. God's going to take you to the mountaintop. The sun will shine on you if you let God lead you. Hallelujah. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm telling you. God wants you to get eastbound and down. Amen. He wants the sun to shine on you again. Amen. Praise God. He'll always lead you toward the sunrise. Hallelujah. After old Jacob had his all-night prayer meeting, the Bible said he went across the brook there and halted upon his thigh, and the Bible said it came to pass that the sun rose upon Jacob. Amen. I'm telling you, God's going to lead you to the sunshine if you let him. Amen. There's going to be an eastward in it. He's going to lead you toward the sun rising. Hallelujah. To the land of day. Amen. We're on our way to the land of day. Hallelujah. Glory to God, where the sun never sets. Amen. Won't set in that city. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants us to get eastbound and down. Hallelujah. A lot of folks eastbound just ain't down. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going to take to get you down. Amen. Really get you wanting to go. Amen. I was sitting the other night about 1:30 in my den watching the tape of my little grandson's funeral. He was buried in the 3rd of August. I tell you all at once, you talk about wanting to get eastbound and down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a desire to see inside that gate. Amen. Like I've never had in all my 63 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. May it take something like that to get you eastbound and down. I hope not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want you to know that God wants us to be eastbound and down. Well, amen. So, the fellow that had the line in his hand began to measure Ezekiel, lead him into the water. Amen. Had a tape. Back when I was about 30 years old before I broke out of a dollar and a half an hour labor barrier. An old worn elevator taught me how to take a skill saw and lay down some subfloor, you know, and get some production out and build camp. I learned how I could lay off a house, you know, and pour the cement. I could build the cabinets and figure the roof, cut the, yeah, do everything. Yeah. This ain't just another pretty face. I'm telling you. God's talent. But old Warren Elbrader taught me how to do it. We built banks, we built gymnasiums, we built a lot of commercial buildings, but we built some houses too. And you go to square up a house, you know, you'll get the front battery board set like you want it. Amen. You'll line it up with the world. And then to square the house up, you don't lay a frame. Have we got any nail benders here? Got any carpet? Yeah? Well, you know, to square up a house, you don't lay a framing square on. You want three things. You want it plumb, square, and level. Amen. But to square it up, you get that front one set solid, and you leave the back part loose. Amen. So you can adjust it. And so you measure down, like you measure down 40 feet on the front, 40 feet on the back, and then 20 feet this way, maybe. Amen. But you got to have the same measurement. Y'all measured down 20 feet this way. If your house was 30 to 40, then you just measured corner to corner, because it's 40 feet on both sides and 30 across. Amen. So we measure from corner. And you have to measure diagonally. Amen. And it takes about, you know, you can't do it with a 50-foot tape. You've got to have a 100-foot tape. Amen. And so you saw it as one corner, and you measure across there. And when you get that measurement the same diagonally, it measures this way and this way the same. That thing is square. You know that? Amen. Well, this way old Elbrady would say, we get ready to square that thing up, he'd say, here, Reed, take hold of ignorant in this thing. Well, that was the end that had the ring in it. You didn't have to know anything to get a hold of the ignorant end of that thing. Amen. Just hold it right there. He'd go in, he said, I got 82 feet, 3 inches, and two of them little baby marks. He had an old smart end, amen. I said, boy, he can sure read that tape all right, amen. And I said, one of these days, I'm going to get me a 100-foot tape at transit level, and I'm going to be in the contracting business. And I wound up with a transit level and a 100-foot tape, and I was in the building business, amen. And it was my turn to hand it to one of my boys and say, here, Rusty, take a whole ignorant in this thing. Boy, I can get up here and read 83 feet, 2 inches, and three of them little bitty marks. Amen. Well, I think God was that day when old Ezekiel was getting ready to go into the water. That man said, here, Ezekiel, get a whole ignorant in this thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And all Ezekiel had to do is get a whole ignorant in that thing and hang on. Hallelujah. Amen. And the man, he measured him off. Well, it was 1,000 cubits. They said 1,000 cubits. A cubit is 18 inches. Amen. So with 1,000 cubits, it'd be a 1,500-foot tape, right? You thought it'd be 1,800, didn't you? No, it'd be 1,500. So it'd be a foot and a half. Right? Okay. Got you thinking now. Amen. Okay. So he measured him off 1,000 cubits. Amen. He said, you ready, Ezekiel? Yeah, amen. And he started rolling it up, see. And all Ezekiel had to do was get a hold of the enemy and hang on. Glory to God. And that fellow brought him through. Amen. Oh, Elder H.G. Ward used to say, God could pull you through anything if you could just stand the pull. Amen. Amen. And he said, sometimes you may be pulled down thin as a shoestring when he gets through pulling on you. Amen. If you get a hold of the ignorant and hang on, let me tell you, you're going through. Amen. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 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 See, God will get madder at you quicker and stay madder longer if you try and tell him how to run his business. He don't need your advice. He can handle all things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. Amen. If you learn just to sit back, get a hold of the ignorant end and hang on and let him run your business for you. Amen. Did you know 80% of the life of faith consists of leaving things alone? I would say 80%. Might be more than that. 80% of the life of faith consists of leaving things alone. That's good preaching. But we want to get in and fix it. Amen. Like old Brother Goggin telling about an old Model A he used to have. He had a brother-in-law who liked to work on cars, and he just kind of Cadillac'd up there in his yard one day. And he told Brother Goggin, said, my Lord, said, that thing needs a tune-up. He said, well, work on it. Amen. Only brother-in-law got through with it, wouldn't run at all. Amen. He said, I was Some of those fellows try to do our churches that way. Just try to adjust a little bit. The first thing you know, they ain't running at all. Amen. Hello, Presbyter. You out there? Hallelujah. Oh, such a temptation. We want to help the Lord. Amen. Oh, no. I'll tell you, I've been there, man. I'm telling you. I had one little boy. He had a woman in his church, you know, and she wouldn't help nobody else. And she got hold of the VBS. She wanted everybody in church to help her. And the lady said, Brother Miller, we are not going to help her. She won't help us do anything. She won't help us, you know, with the dinner. She won't help us with anything. She won't teach a class. She won't cut out. She won't help us. Amen. And she's got a charge of VBS, and we ain't going to help her. She just had VBS birthday. She said, what am I going to do, Brother Gibson? I said, just resign, go in and find this work. Amen. Amen. It defies solution, you know. Amen. You get those situations, you know. And boy, if you settle it this way, you make this bunch mad. If you settle it this way, you make another bunch. I'm telling you, it's a hopeless situation. And you worry with it being a bad, you worry with it about 3 or 4 days. I mean, you know, you can't sleep, can't eat. What you do eat won't stay down. Amen. So I'd get over there in the church for the altar. And I said, now look, Lord, this thing is above me. I can't do anything about it. I don't know the answer. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it over to you. And if you need me, I'm going to be out 2 minutes late fishing. Amen. 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 And I have never done that yet, but I can almost hear the Lord say, thank you, son. Thank you. I can take care of it. I will handle it. Amen. If you will leave it alone. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen, Brother Gibson. Just preach it. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. 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 So he got a hold of the ignorance. Amen. That's as basic as anything I'm going to preach. Amen. You've got to take your hands off of it and let God have it. Amen. If you're going to get the kind of healing that you want. Amen. Leave it there. Leave it there. Amen. God will take care of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now there's about 4 different ways I go right here. Are they all praying for me? I mean, really, are you? Okay. Hallelujah. 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 But God wants us in the river of God. Amen. And the sooner you empty yourself out or die to yourself, Jesus said, put it this way, except you take up your cross daily and follow him, you can't be his disciple. Amen. God doesn't help those who help themselves. He helps those who have come to the end of themselves. Amen. Have no confidence in themselves. Paul said, we put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. And no confidence vote in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just let the Lord do it. Amen. Glory to God. You think you can do it? God will stand back and let you. And you learn how to preach, God will stand over in the corner and say, go to it, big boy. You know all about it. You know when to just say, oh, man, you doing this, how to move. Amen. You know so much about it. You learn how to preach. Amen. I always feel sorry for preachers when they learn how to preach. Heard old Brother J.O. Savelle said, if I ever do learn how to preach, I hope to God I'll never find it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, but somebody depend on the Lord. Depend on him. Amen. To help you. Glory to God, and he will. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I remember one time I was preaching. I was in Bible school. hadn't been saved but a couple of years, maybe. I got saved in 47, went to Bible school in 48. This was about 49. No, this was in 50. Yeah, this was in 50, 1950, because I remember because I was married. And I was holding, this is 1951. I got married in 1950 in June, and then this was the next fall. Maybe in February. I've been next. Well, anyway, whenever. Amen. Well, where was I? I got married, didn't I? Yeah. And so old Emmett Noel, I had a whole revival for Brother Dave Laughlin out at Old Villa, down a little outstation, Bible outstation from Bible school down there. He was a pastor. I was an evangelist. Amen. And so we were both in Bible school every day, and I was preaching down there at night for him. Amen. And so old Emmett Noel, he come down from Dallas. He'd been saved about a year, and he was wanting the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, he'd been up there for H.C. Noah's church. Old O.L. Jaggers had prayed for him. Oral Roberts had prayed for him. Noah had prayed for him. Amen. And O.L. Jaggers had prayed for him. Couldn't get the Holy Ghost. So here he saunters down off his little old ignorant Bible school revival, you know, wanting the Holy Ghost. Hungry for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I start preaching. Amen. And we've sung. You know, I had a song service, couldn't get nothing going. And I tried to preach for about 10 minutes, I couldn't get nothing going. Amen. It just wasn't flowing, you know. Amen. And back in them days, you know, we couldn't stand a dry service. And everybody knew when it got dry. Nowadays, folks ain't that good to pray through, you know. And you just kind of go on and fake it a little bit and pull the scripture to it. Amen. But back then, boy, I just wasn't getting nowhere. But I've discovered two cents, you know, that God orders a whole service just for one person. That'll be a secret that you'll learn. Next time you get in before you think it's a dry service, amen, ain't nothing moving. There's more moving than you think there is. Amen. If you'll just go ahead and preach by faith and act like you don't know no better. Amen. But this night, I just stopped because it's ordained of God. I stopped. And I was right out here, and I said, hey, I ain't getting nowhere preaching. I said, hey, Emmett, I believe if you come to the altar tonight, God's going to put you in the Holy Ghost. Well, now, if he doesn't get the Holy Ghost, it's going to look bad on you know who. You. I haven't been saved but about 3 years. Amen. And to step out like that, boy, you know, it's kind of bold. And I said, I believe God's going to put you in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. If you'll come to the altar. Well, here come old Emmett Noel. Amen. He'll, oh, glory, 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 glory. In about 30 minutes. We didn't have no more victory than we did when we started. I mean, it was dead in the hand. Well, the reason it happened was because God was getting old Emmett to a place where he could empty himself. See? So he turned around and sat down on the altar like this after we had prayed with him for about 30 minutes to get the Holy Ghost. And his whole idea was that he wasn't going to get the Holy Ghost. You know, he told the Lord, said, well, you know, these holy rollers, they had me believing that everybody got saved was a candidate for the Holy Ghost. But he said, Lord, it looks like that I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to die without the Holy Ghost. He said, Lord, I've done everything everybody told me to do. I've fasted. Pray. They tell me to hang on, I'd hang on. They tell me to turn loose, I'd turn loose. I've done everything. And Lord, and it was, we'd have revival, and boy, they're getting the Holy Ghost all around. And he said, Lord, it just looks like it. You know, I really thought you would, Lord, but and I don't know why you haven't, but I just really kind of feel discriminated against because, you know, everybody else got it. You won't give it to me. sitting there, boy, I mean, you'll never see him any more defeated than he. I mean, he is wiped out. Hallelujah. And he opens his mouth to pour out his complaint to the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. Oh, I've seen it, saying, I'm telling you, this is as basic as any truth you could preach. Amen. I was up in Denver in a meeting. Amen. You remember me telling about the lady that the junior class got the Holy Ghost on Sunday night? Well, Sister Martina, she was in the altar too, but she didn't give it. And she was teaching the Sunday school class too. So it was Monday and Tuesday. She thought, well, on that Wednesday night, boy, she just come down. The altar just got up, you know, and boy, she was defeated. Same way. She went back and sits down about the third seat while we're having the altar service. You know. And she begins to weep there just silently before the Lord, you know. And said, Lord, I tell you, I guess you got it in for us Mexicans too. I would never thought to know that you would discriminate because of race, but said you feel gringos on both sides of me, in front of me and back of me. Amen. You just let my little Mexican heart just dry as it could be. Amen. And just sitting back there weeping, you know, pretty soon one of those little Holy Ghost-filled saints, you know, they got their eyes working on this altar man. Yeah. Don't sit back there. Somebody in this altar needing to be prayed for. You open your eyes. Amen. Look around. Amen. Somebody's sorry back there, you know. And they just oozed out of the altar and went back there and stood by. Amen. Pretty soon another one noticed her. Amen. The first thing you know, there were about four or five women back there by Sister Martinez, and she just lifted her hands up in that low estate of herself, you know. Hallelujah, got the Holy Ghost right there. Amen. When she had got a hold of the ignorant end and emptied herself out. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. And I found out something else. So you don't want to tell the Lord you ain't going to do it. Don't tell your boys, because that's the thing you're going to have to do. Because he didn't draw the line, you drew it. Amen. You draw the line, you're going to have to step across it. Amen. I heard him tell a story about one time about old Leo DeRocha, and this umpire, they was having a fuss, you know. Amen. And boy, they're getting it on. And that old umpire, he drew a line in the dirt like that, you know, and told little Roach, he better stay on the other side of it. But he went around the end of it like this. The Roach said, "Something you out!" You got to step up. Amen. Don't tell the Lord you ain't going to do it. Amen. I had a cousin up in Tulsa, an old Richard Nelson. His grandmother, Nelson, died over here in the Galena nursing home. And so, but it was so good to run on to somebody in our family that, you know, that was seeking Lord. But he'd been saved 2 years and didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because some of the saints come down and pray for him. They'd lay hands on him and he'd say, "Don't lay hands on me. Don't want nobody laying hands on me." You know, well, that's good. You don't want us laying hands on you, we won't. Amen. You're not hungry for the Holy Ghost. We got something better to do with our time trying to pray a hunger down on you for the Holy Ghost. Right? Right. Amen. So we just left him alone. Amen. You got to treat this thing like it was your best girlfriend. You got to want it. Amen. It ain't going to jump on you. Don't worry about that. So, man, we cranked up and we're having revival. It's getting the Holy Ghost all around. So Richard and God just lead him high and dry. See, God can outweigh you. I stand over here one night, then somebody, no, Richard's got my eye. "Yes, Richard, what is it?" He had big, pretty brown eyes, just standing brim full of tears. I told him if I'd have been the Lord, I'd give him anything he wanted. he was so sweet. Brother Reed. you lay your hands on me and pray for me that I'll get the Holy Ghost. In 10 minutes, oh, Richard, I'll get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And he said, I don't want nobody laying hands on me, but he changed his mind about it. Yeah, I got a hold of the ignorance. Quit trying to tell God how he wanted. Amen. I like that one old lady. That one story about that old lady. She didn't want to get the Holy Ghost because she afraid she'd do something unseemly. She afraid she'd fall back over the floor and her dress tail fly up, you know, and all those kind of things. Sometimes that. Amen. Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Amen. The Lord won't humble, you know. He'll do some humiliating things to you, but you'll have to humble yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a little old friend. She was about that wide, and her pride was about that wide. Amen. And she had on, oh, I bet a $200 wig one time. She was up in the money big church in Tulsa. And the evangelist come up there for prayer one night. He got his fingers in her wig and flipped it off. Went rolling over under that grand piano. She called on her hands and knees back out there and got that wig. Amen. She had an old nylon sock on her hair, you know, to keep it down. Amen. Where she that wig would fit on it. Amen. Oh, brother, I'd have given $50 to have seen that, and I would have needed money. I'm telling you. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. The Lord won't humble you. You'll have to do that yourself. Amen. But he will do some humiliating. So the pastor said, well, really, girl, we're not holy rollers. That's just what the world calls us. That you can get the Holy Ghost at home by yourself if you want to. Well, that's the best news she ever heard. Boy, she's not seeking the Lord at home for the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day she called the pastor up about 2 weeks later and said, hey, said, I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, begin to speak in tongues. They just rejoicing over the phone, you know. Amen. And all at once she said, but I thought you said we weren't holy rollers. He said, that's right. Said, we're not. She said, well, tell me how I got back under that bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, he finally got him out there in the river. It was a river that he couldn't touch bottom. It was a river that couldn't be crossed. Now, he could see across it, see, because there's trees on both sides of it. He couldn't get across it. That's that one. You know, some things look pretty easy in the natural. So you get out there in the spirit and try to do it. One old boy told me, he said, boy, when I get saved, I ain't going to be no hypocrite. And I am really going to live. I said, good night, man. You're the one we've been looking for. Somebody get out here and show us how this is supposed to be done. Amen. Come on, get out here. So we'll have an example. Amen. We've been waiting on you. Amen. Amen. Deacon said, you can't cross that river. It was a river that couldn't be crossed. What do you mean? Have to see across it. That which you can't get from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So he gets him out there where his feet don't touch, you know. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I know that probably just kind of pushing him down like that. I like to do that when I'm preaching something. I just get people out there where their feet won't touch and just do them like that. They'll surface, you know, they'll surface finally. Amen. And so the fellow asked him, said, Ezekiel, have you seen this? And Ezekiel could have said, look, dum-dum, I'm about to drown in it, and you asked me if I've seen it. Well, that's a pretty pertinent question because a lot of people have been around Pentecost for a long time, still not seen it. And you can tell by talking to them, you know, whether they've seen it or not. One of my favorite lines, I get a pastor's wife on the phone once in a while, and I'll say, is there any holy rollers around there? And she says, No, there isn't. You know, well, and the icicle just dropping on the receiver. Then I know there's no holy rollers around there. Amen, really. You know, there may be a few spirit-filled ones, but I mean, no. Amen. There's no real old-fashioned holy roller there. Amen. Hallelujah. You get a holy roller, and one thing about it, he's not ashamed. He's a holy roller. Amen. He's glad of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a holy roller around you. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Glory to God. Here's another one. I said, boy, are you saved? He said, I've been baptized. That's not what I asked him, was it? Amen. I said, are you saved? He said, I give a dollar every time I go down to church. That's not what I asked him, was it? Amen. See, and you can tell by the way they answer you if they've seen it or not. Amen. I had no more passing out tracts in Tulsa before I ever got saved. Amen. I shouldn't tell you this, amen, but I had one more passing out tracts. I had tobacco juice running down to go over here. Bless these sweethearts. Amen. Brother A.C. Bates said, the Bible said, to greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, so we're commanded here. Said, if I was to kiss that filthy brute, I'd kiss him behind the ear. Amen. 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 But it might have been that fellow asked. He said, do you know the Lord? And I said, yeah, I believe in God. That's not what he asked me. He asked if I believed in God. He asked if I knew the Lord. See? And he could tell by the way I answered him that I didn't know. See, I believe in God. Amen. I believe in God. That's not what he asked me. He said, do you know the Lord? Amen. That was the question. Hallelujah. And so he said, have you seen this? Amen. Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Kingdom of God. Can't see coming to church on Friday night. Can't see paying his tithes. Can't see being faithful. He can't see anything but the kingdom of God until you've been born again. See? This is what God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, lift up your eyeballs and just stretch them out as far as you can see. And said, Abraham, as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you. Glory to God. You can see it. You can have it. It's there. You can see it. You can have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you seen this river? Have you seen this river? Amen. Hallelujah. I used to sing a song. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Hide is my life in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. You know who wrote that song? Fanny Crosby. And she wrote about rivers of pleasure, should you see. Here's another one that'll blow you away. When the trump of the great archangel its mighty tones of sound, the end of the world proclaiming shall pierce the depth profound. When the body and the soul are united and clothed no more to die, for the shouting on that shore when we meet the park no more, chained in the twinkling of an eye. Fanny Crosby wrote, a little blind girl wrote, change in the twinkling of an eye. Here's one that I discovered that really did do me in. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture. Oh my. Amen. Amen. What did a little blind girl know about rivers of pleasure she could see? Amen. Or the twinkling of an eye that the scripture speaks of, or visions of rapture. She saw it the same way you saw it, if you've seen it, if you know it's there. Hallelujah. See, Job said, there is a path that no fowl knoweth. The eye of the vulture has not seen it. Amen. It's there. He said, there is a path. It's there. But the vulture's eye, the keenest natural eye, has not perceived it. Neither indeed can he, Paul said, for they are spiritually. Hallelujah. Have you seen this with me? Have you seen this? Are you thirsty for it? Hallelujah. It'll heal anything you let touch. That's another thing about that too. Said it healed wherever it went. It healed everything it touched. Amen. Glory to God. How would you like to be in this place? Well, let me tell you this, and I'll go. I was preaching in Carbondale in Tulsa for Brother Pratt. And we didn't have Saturday night service. And old David Terrell was in a meeting down at the municipal auditorium downtown Tulsa. And he and old Haskell Grant, he was a buddy of mine, and they had held revivals together years before. And old Haskell told me, said, if you get a chance to go hear him, go hear old David, because we'd pray all day together. And said he'd tell me there's going to be a lady in that service tonight, and said it would be just like he told me. Amen. Of course, I know he's in trouble with the government for not paying his taxes, and he preaches a bunch of funny things. But probably if I fasted and prayed as much as he did, I'd preach some funny things too. Anyway, I went there that night, and boy, he looked like he'd fasted. He was just skin and bone. But he told about fasting 40 days. He said in 1971, he only ate 30-some days. Didn't fast 30-some days. He only ate 30-some days. You know, and then he wouldn't eat like you and I eat because his stomach had shrunk. And a couple of years there, he'd fasted more than he had eaten, more days than he'd eaten. And said during one of those times he had fasted for 40 days. Said he drank water. Said he believed Jesus drank water on his 40-day fast because it doesn't say anything about him being thirsty. Said he was hungry. Amen. I don't know. Amen. So he said after I fasted 40 days without any food, he said I went 10 more days without water. So it had been 50 days without food and the last 10 days without water. And said he woke up and said his hand was trembling and he had a glass of water in his hand going to his mouth like this when he woke up. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I've got to have some water. He said, now I'm going to die if I don't get some water. I know I'm dying. You know that I'm dying. I'm dehydrated. I'm dying. And he said, now I'm not going to drink this water unless you tell me I can. But I know I'm dying. And you know I'm dying. I don't get this one. But he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, well, go ahead, sir. Drink all that water you want. But he said, I brought you to this place because I had something I wanted to say to you. He said, okay, Lord. What is it? He said, well, David, when you get to wanting me like you're wanting that water, you can have me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's crazy. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you. Stand with me and let's go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 There is a rhythm. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, slip your hands toward heaven and let's wait on the Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. Lord, we just turn it over to you. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.